Reading tonight is found in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read together from verse 1 through to verse 11. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. We read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 11. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Last week, as we were looking at the closing verses of Romans chapter 4, I asked you a very simple question. Where are you resting your faith? If you ever hope to be in heaven, but you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then who or what are you trusting in? If you feel that God's way of salvation is not right, and that you have a better way than that which the Scriptures reveal to us, then what is it that you're depending on as far as eternity is concerned? For just as we've been listening to the ministry in song, soon will pass God's day of grace. You're going to be swept out into eternity. And the great question will always be, eternity where? Where are you resting your faith? Paul reminded us why we should be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he used these words, speaking of Christ. He says, "Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." And of course, he deals with the death of Christ, and he deals with the resurrection of Christ, and both of these are inseparably linked, and they're fundamental to the very gospel that we preach. Of course, the death of Christ was absolutely necessary, because our sin had to be atoned for, and since sinners cannot save themselves, only one who knew no sin could take the sinner's place. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that when he went to the cross at Calvary, and when he bore away our sin in his own body on the tree. As far as the nature of his resurrection is concerned, Paul says he was raised again for our justification. The work that Jesus did was absolutely necessary to bring us sinners back to God. And he not only died for our sins, but he rose again to signify a finished and complete work. And of course, the implication of Paul's statement is this: you cannot have saving faith until you know a living Savior. And you cannot be a Christian unless you believe in the literal, physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now tonight, as we move into Romans chapter 5, we come to surely what is one of the sweetest portions in the whole of the Bible. In the first four chapters, Paul has been talking about sin, and he has been dealing with the awful consequences of sin and reminding us why it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to die in the sinner's place. But when you come here to Romans 5, we come to what I'm calling tonight the joy of being a Christian. The joy of being a Christian. Some people, of course, think that there's no joy in being a Christian at all. I can understand that. They've maybe met some of the people that I've met on the pathway of life who profess to be saved and that make you run a mile from the Christian faith. But the fact of the matter is this. For those of you tonight who might feel, and for others around who might feel, that coming to Jesus Christ and enjoying the Christian life would stifle you or cramp your style, I want you to think again. If you think that the Christian life is boring and it has absolutely nothing to offer you, then I would ask you to think again. From my own personal point of view, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It is a wonderful thing to know that your sins are forgiven, that you can actually enjoy a living relationship with the living God. You can know that your soul is saved, and you can know that you are safe and secure in Christ as far as eternity is concerned. Now, those things tonight thrill me as a believer in Jesus Christ. So let's look here at what the apostle says about the joy of being a Christian, and we're going to concentrate on verses 1 and 2. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, Paul has already related to us about justification, what it means and how it comes about. Now he tells us what it means in the lives of those who have a personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to mention three simple things. I want you to think about them. Maybe tonight, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to be reminded of these things again. Because maybe the joy has left your life. Maybe having been on the road for so long that you have lost sight of Jesus Christ and everything that he used to mean to you but no longer means to you because you've left your first love. So I want you to think about this. And these three things. The first is this. It assures us of peace with God. It assures us of peace with God. Peace, as you and I know, is one of the rarest commodities in our world today. So many parts of the world, even this evening, longing for and Christians praying for peace. But the big problem is that men and women can never be at peace with each other until, first of all, they're at peace with God. And Paul, of course, reminds us that man is a sinner. You cannot read these opening chapters in the book of Romans and come to any other conclusion. As far as Paul is concerned, man is a sinner. We're all guilty, and this whole world in which we live is not only guilty before God, it's living under the wrath of God. That's Paul's argument right throughout these opening chapters. And since man is a sinner, he's an enemy of God. He is at war with God, alienated from God, and until and unless his sin is dealt with, that is how he is ever going to remain. The good news of the gospel is this. Sinners like you and I can be reconciled to God. Sinners like you and sinners like me can not only be at peace with God, but we can know the very peace of God deep down in these souls of ours just now. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. That's why. That's how you and I can know peace. And that peace we can know the very moment that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because when we trust Christ, reconciliation with God takes place. In our sin, we were in a terrible state, far from God. We were enemies. And yet the very moment we come and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, God accepts us in Christ. And having lived under divine wrath and separated from God with the prospect of being lost for all of eternity, that divine wrath is replaced with God's divine favor. You just think about this for a moment. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting and you're not a Christian. As far as you're concerned, there's no joy to be had in Christ. There's nothing about this Christian life that in any way stimulates you. There's absolutely nothing about this so-called gospel that you hear week in and week out that could ever or will ever make a difference in your life. Now, my friend, that tonight would remind me, if that's what you think and that's where you are, it is further proof of everything that Paul has already said. Not only are you a sinner, but you are living and abiding under the wrath of God. God has already passed judgment. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nothing that can change your position. You're bound for the caverns of a Christless hell. But I'm telling you that in Christ tonight, divine wrath can be replaced by divine favor. In Christ, you can pass from death unto life. You could be released from the bondage of your sin. You could be pardoned instead of punished. Because when Jesus Christ went to the cross to take the sinner's place and to bear away the sinner's sin, God punished Christ and he punished him in the place of the sinner. And the wrath that was due to the sinner because of his sin, well, the Lord Jesus Christ took that wrath upon himself when he shed his own precious blood for your sin and mine. That's why you need no longer live in sin. That's why you need no longer live under God's condemnation. You need no longer remain alienated from God or live as a rebel or as an enemy in God's sight. Because you could be reconciled to God and brought back into that place where you're at peace with God and know the very peace of God in your life. Stories told of a prisoner who on one occasion was taken from his prison cell to die. He had already been tried at a court and found guilty of a heinous crime, and for him there was absolutely no hope. The day of punishment had come, and now he's traveling in what was called the death cart. And he's tied and he's chained and he's on his way to the gallows. The thought of death had overwhelmed him and his heart was filled with fear and with dread, and yet there was absolutely nothing that he could do. And just as that death cart approached the gallows, a man rode up alongside and he jumped off his horse with a piece of paper in his hand, and the cart stopped very abruptly. The man, having got off the horse, came forward with a piece of paper. It contained a pardon which he had just bought for this poor condemned prisoner. And the prisoner looked at the pardon, and he listened as the pardon was read out, and then he looked into the face of the man who bought it. Death cart. Judgment has been passed. You're bound by your sin. You're heading for the place of destruction. And the Lord Jesus Christ has stepped in on your behalf, gone to the cross and paid the price for your sin, paid your debt in full. And he paid the price that God demanded for your sin by the shedding of his own precious blood. And as a result of that sacrificial and substitutionary death, you can be saved from your sin. You can be pardoned tonight instead of being punished. And you can live under God's divine favor instead of his divine wrath. You say to me, but how can this be? Grace. You and I don't deserve it. You and I were living under the judgment of God. And because of our sin, we had every right to be punished and banished to a Christless eternity. But Jesus Christ paid our debt in full. And in trusting him, we go free and we are at peace with God. By the joy of being a Christian, it assures us of peace with God. Here's the second thing. It puts us into the place of blessing. Now, when I talk about blessing, I'm talking about the blessings which the child of God enjoys in the Lord Jesus. Because the moment we trust him as our Savior, everything changes. We have a new standing in grace. There's a new standing in Christ. For not only are we saved, but God accepts us and he delights in us. And God loves and longs to bless those who are trusting in him. Being a Christian is so different from anything that you could ever experience. It's like a man who lives outside of the king's palace. He knows that inside there are riches untold. He knows he's a pauper. He also knows that he has absolutely no right to enter into that palace and to all that there is in store there for all who are there. And then one day the doors opened. And the king invites him in and everything at the palace is at his disposal. It's the same when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible puts it like this. It says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That everything that is his is now ours. Because we have been put into the place of blessing. I could go on the rest of the night talking about those blessings from this book alone, but I want to make it more practical and personal. And I want to remind you of what some of these blessings are. Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor, if I was to come this evening and trust Christ as my Savior, and you're talking about the joy of being a Christian and all the blessings that I could have, tell me what these blessings are. Well, the first is there's forgiveness. For all your sins. What a blessing that is. I have watched men and women head to the grave and go out into a lost eternity, overwhelmed with their sin and never knowing forgiveness. Friend, tonight you could know forgiveness for all of your sins. If you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will take away your sin, and I mean every last one of them. And God will take them and he will cast them away into the sea of his forgetfulness to be remembered against you or me no more forever. He'll wipe the slate clean. He'll forgive you immediately and completely. He'll give you a new standing in his sight. You'll be accepted in his well-beloved Son. And how is it possible? It's possible because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. Do you know what your portion is without a Savior? Paul says the wages of your sin is death. Not just physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. That's your position without Christ. That's what it is to live in your sin with no thought of God. Your sins are hanging around your neck like a noose, and it's tightening every single day. And there's a day coming when your sin will find you out. But in Jesus Christ, God is giving you the opportunity to have your sins all forgiven, every last one of them. But Pastor, I'd love to believe that. You see, what about those sins that others know nothing about, even those sins? What about those things that I've done that I regret so much and I can't turn the clock back, even those sins? I'm talking about every single sin. And it doesn't matter how deep down in sin you might have been. It doesn't matter the mess you've made of your life. It doesn't matter what sin has ravaged in your home. I'm saying tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. There's great joy in that. For there are some of us sitting here tonight, and if our sins were made public, we'd hang our heads in shame and maybe never come through that door ever again. And yet God says, they're gone. Every single one of them. Every last one of them. They're under the blood. And you're cleansed, and you're cleansed completely. What a blessing that is. Are you going to run around the rest of your life with this noose around your neck tightening because of the sin in your life, and carrying with you a burden that you can no longer bear, and living with the dread of going out into a Christless eternity, when tonight in Christ your sins could all be forgiven? It's worth thinking about, isn't it? Here's the second thing, because time's moving on. There's not just forgiveness for all your sin. There's fellowship with God to be enjoyed. You see, part of this reconciliation, Paul says, is this: by whom, Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. There was a time in my life and in the lives of many Christians here when they had no thought of God, they were alienated from God, they were enemies in the sight of God, and they had no fellowship with Him. And the moment they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, not only did God declare them to be righteous, but they began a journey of walking with God every day and enjoying the sweetness of His presence. Now that might seem very, very strange to you, because maybe in your mind you've got this thought of God as an old man somewhere in the clouds, far removed from the world that He has made, not interested in you, not interested in anything. He just created the world and let it go and let it get on with it. It's not like that. The very reason why God has created you and me is that we might enjoy fellowship with Him. But we can't enjoy that fellowship while we're in our sin. But the moment that our sins are forgiven, we enter into this new relationship where on a daily basis we can enjoy His fellowship, reading His Word, praying to Him, talking to Him, walking with Him. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing that thrills my soul more than knowing that you can enjoy fellowship with the only true and living God. You know nothing about that. Because in your sin, fellowship with God is out of reach. In your sin, you cannot enjoy this fellowship that I'm talking about. And when the dark clouds gather in your life, my friend,
You have no one to reach out to. There's no one to bring you light in the midst of your darkness. When all these bitter cups of life's journey, they come to you, there's no one there to sweeten that bitter cup. Do you know, over this past few weeks, we've had a number of folks who have died and gone home to glory. I'm losing count of the number of those funerals where the opening hymn was, "I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell." Do you know what that hymn speaks about? About fellowship. Following Jesus ever day by day. Listen to this. Nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whate'er befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. Maybe you want to face the battles alone. Maybe you're happy to carry your heavy burden. Maybe you're quite willing to drink of your bitter cup. But I'm telling you tonight that your life would be so much better and so much blessed if you put your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ and learned what it meant to live for him. The joy of being a Christian, it assures us of peace with God. It puts us into the place of blessing. And here's the third thing very quickly. It gives us a glorious prospect. What do I mean by that? Well, the Apostle Paul says here that we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only is the Christian saved as a result of the death of Christ on the cross and through our faith in him, but the Christian has a glorious future to look forward to. That's what takes the sting out of death. In fact, that's what takes the fear out of death itself. And that's what gives the believer tonight tremendous hope beyond the grave and as he stands on the verge of eternity. Behold what love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God, John says. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Listen to this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you want me to tell you something tonight about the believer in Christ, about the joy of being a Christian? Death comes to the Christian just as it comes to the non-Christian. But whenever death comes, and that believer closes his or her eyes in death the very next moment, just like that, they waken up in the presence of their living, loving Savior. They go home to heaven. And there they'll be for the countless ages of eternity, never ever to be separated again. What a prospect. Heaven. With all its glory, heaven with all its great beauty, heaven the place of God's abode. For the Christian, there are better days on ahead, and far better than anything that this old world can offer. Unfortunately for some of you, that's not how it is. That's not how it is. Do you want me to tell you what you have to look forward to? I think you've got a right to know. As far as you're concerned, without Christ as your Savior and living in your sin, you have no eternal prospect. You have no blessed hope. You have even no salvation.
And the fact is that heaven you will never see. What a tragedy that is. Especially for some of you who have been cradled in the gospel. Some of you who have sat and talked face to face with youth leaders. Some of you who have let go of the hand of loved ones who have gone to be with Christ. And tonight, my friend, here you sit in the meeting without Christ, without hope, and heaven you'll never see. What a tragedy. A young man during the Second World War fled from Hitler's Germany, made his way to America, began to make good friends, and very soon there was a family who took him in. And they kept him and they treated him as one of their own. But no matter how good America was, it wasn't his home. And no matter how friendly his family were, they were not his own. The fact is, the rest of his family had remained in Germany, and he couldn't wait for the day when he would go home. One day when the war was finally over and it was now safe to travel, he came to his adopted family and all his friends, and he said he was leaving them because he was returning again to Germany, to his own family and to his home. "Why?" said the family with great surprise. "Do you not like it here? Are you not happy with us?" "Oh yes," said the young man, "I like it here. And I love you all. And I've been very happy. But this is not my home. And my family are waiting for me on the other side." I tell you tonight, this world is not my home. And I'm glad it's not. Even now, while I stand in your presence with God's word open in this desk, I have already family on the other side. They're awaiting my arrival. And some of you have lost loved ones recently, and your family are on the other side awaiting your arrival too. That's the joy of being a Christian. That's the hope of being in Christ. Going back to those funerals of those three godly ladies that we have buried in the last 10 days or so, every one of them in different situations at different times, all said exactly the same to me. "Pastor, I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to get home." You see, they were thinking of heaven. And now they're in heaven. And their faith has given way to sight. And they're at home with the Lord. What about you when you close your eyes in death? You say, "I don't care." You don't. When you open up your eyes in hell, being in torment, you'll care. But it'll be forever too late. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face. And the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepares for me a mansion in the sky. The joy of being a Christian. My friend, have you ever thought about it? And all that it means, it assures us of peace with God. It brings us into the place of blessing. and it gives to us a glorious prospect. Because for the Christian, it's heaven and home. Where will you be in eternity? It's worth thinking about, isn't it? Because if you're not in heaven, the only other place you can be is hell. Now let's pray. Father, quietly we just bow in your presence and thank you so much for the joy of being a Christian. Not that we feel better than anyone else, our Father, because we're all in Christ, just sinners saved by grace. But we bless you that in Christ we have so much to thank you for and so much to look forward to. And we pray that every one of us in this meeting tonight will have that same assurance and know that when life has finished its course and death has come, that all of us can say, it's well with my soul. Would you speak to all our hearts? And if some of us have lost the joy of being a Christian, restore unto us the very joy of our salvation. We pray in Jesus' name.